Welcome to Political Rewind. I'm Bill Nigut, and I am very glad to be able to say we're glad to have you all with us. I've been gone for about 10 days, missed a few shows, and I appreciate the fact that Ricky Bevington, Bradley George, and Adam Ragusa filled in for me while my wife and I were on a vacation. In fact, that vacation, though, had some work involved. We spent time in Paris and London, and we're preparing now a story. We recorded conversations with Parisians and Brits and people from various countries in Europe about how they were feeling about the presidential election here in the States. And we're working on that now. And in the next week, we're going to put that on the air here at Political Rewind. I want to do one other quick piece of business. Now that I'm back, we are really working toward our next voter panel for Political Rewind. And so I want to make sure you know you do have an opportunity to be a part of that panel. Call us at 678-757-4472. 678-757-4472. It's a recorded device that you'll get. Tell us in a very short time why you think you should be on the presidential voter panel. All right, that's enough of my chattering about business. Jim Galloway is back with us. Jim, you've missed the last three shows, too. We got some tweets about the fact that we were both gone at the same time. We were not on vacation together.
No. I had a little bit of a medical situation. I'm off my pain meds now, but with this Tuesday debate coming up, I'm rethinking that.
Well, we're awfully glad that you're back with us and that you got through this procedure you had to deal with. And we should tell people that you're coming to us by remote from up in Cobb County. Sam Zamarripa, who was the first Latino member of the state legislature elected to the state Senate. When was that, Sam?
It's been more than a decade now, Bill.
Wow. Yes. Hard to believe.
That's right.
And Sam has been a longtime leader in the business community and certainly in the Hispanic community here. He is now an entrepreneur doing more business than we can even take time to recount on this show. And we have a first-time panelist today. I'm really pleased to welcome Lakita Bonet, who is Dr. Lakita Bonet, who is an associate professor of political science at Georgia State University. Really glad that you could be here, Lakita.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
And I want to remember the T's, we pronounce them. It's not
yes.
silent. It's
yes.
not some Frenchy kind
no,
of
pronunciation. No, it's right? Bonnet, yes.
All right, let's get started. We know, Jim Galloway, let me come to you on this first. The threats of bombs and the actual bomb in New York City, the explosion in New York City over the weekend has once again raised concerns about security. It's once again become front and center in the presidential race. And we saw both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump react to it in quite different ways. I think my first question to you, Jim, though, is we always talk about it's the economy is stupid. But if we continue to see this sort of event happening in the weeks ahead, will it be national security stupid? What do you think?
Well, I think what you have to look at it again. I mentioned coming in into this the Tuesday debate, the first debate of our people and our presidential candidates, and that's going to be at Hofstra University.
Yeah.
On Long Island, which is just very, very close to where all those bombs were scattered.
Yeah, yeah. But do you think? And let me turn to you, both of you here in the studio. Does national security rise to the top of the list of what Americans are thinking about, Sam?
Absolutely. Even if it is not what they vote on, it's something that they're worried about. They're worried about their families and their children. But it doesn't necessarily translate easily to one side or the other, because whoever articulates their strategy the clearest with a way that engages the public will win this debate. We have withdrawn from certain wars in the last 5 years under President Obama. We're unlikely to get any major confrontation. You know, my feeling is on the Democratic side, it'll be incremental success that gives them credibility with their strategy. On the Republican side, it could be other larger scale interventions. But intervention is not going to come easily to either party.
Lakita, I want to get you into the mix on this.
Okay.
But to do that, if you don't mind, let me first, let's listen to how Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump each responded over the weekend. Certainly first to the knife attack in Minnesota, and then to the bomb explosion and the discovery of a second bomb in New York City, the discovery device in New Jersey. I mean, we got lots of things that went on. Let's listen to how Trump dealt with this.
Our local police, they know who a lot of these people are. They're afraid to do anything about it because they don't want to be accused of profiling. But Israel has done an unbelievable job, and they'll profile. They profile. They see somebody that's suspicious, they will profile. They will take that person in. They'll check out. Do we have a choice? Look what's going on. Do we really have a choice? We're trying to be so politically correct in our country, mm-hmm. and this is only going to get worse.
So
we're going to have to do something extremely tough over there, okay?
Like what?
Over there, like knock the hell out of them. And we have to get everybody together, and we have to lead for a change because we're not knocking them. We're hitting them every once in a while. We're hitting them in certain places. We're being very gentle about it. We're going to have to be very tough.
So, Lakita, what are your thoughts about what Trump had to say?
I think it's interesting. I think in some ways the American public definitely does want to have a force to deal with issues of terrorism. But I don't think that we are all or nothing is the way that Donald Trump presents it, that we definitely have to go and use these extreme measures of violence in order to deal with the issues of terrorism. I think that people are going to be asking for more intervention from our national security forces and asking for the security of the United States to be a little bit more secure, but not as all or nothing as Donald Trump puts it.
Jim, I know you want to jump in here. Let me feed you a question, though. You know, Trump talks about they, the law enforcement authorities, know these people are. They're afraid to go after them. This New York captured this suspect within hours after the attack. I mean,
and that's exactly where I wanted to go with this. They found Ahmad Khan Rahami in the doorway of a bar because, the bar owner recognized his picture off of CNN, and as soon as the law enforcement officers approached, they too recognized him from the wanted poster that had been displayed across, you know, millions of cell phones. So the idea that political that cops are afraid to enforce this, I think it falls rather flat. And I got to say that, you know, maybe the Minneapolis incident is a little bit different, but the Long Island, New Jersey thing was so quickly contained and so well handled that actually I think it might build confidence in people's a sense of U.S. ability to handle terrorism.
Sam, one of the things we've learned, though, about Donald Trump is that when he feeds this kind of red meat to his supporters, they jump up and cheer and feel that he's got the answer, even though he doesn't say anything specific.
Well, you know, if this race, back up to the beginning of this race period and think about, were Hillary Clinton running against, say Marco Rubio, or was Hillary Clinton running against Ted Cruz, where would the margins be today? And my guess is they would be very similar. So for all of the anxiety and the noise around Trump and his antics, I don't think, in fact, the numbers might have been better had the candidate been Marco Rubio. So there's a lot of noise out there that gives Trump standing, but some of that noise does not translate into an organized voter turnout. It's very confusing.
All right. Well, we'll watch it. Look, we I think our listeners are well aware of the fact that we are in a pledge drive right now. And so we're going to turn this over in just a second to Tanya Ott and Bert Wesley Huffman, who are going to talk to you about how you can participate. I just very quickly want to say you all have been so supportive of Political Rewind, and we appreciate that deeply. And one other way that you can help us, aside from listening on Wednesdays and Fridays, is to become a member and support the team that puts this show together. I just want to add my hope that you will all consider supporting GPB and the work that all of us here do to bring programs that you tell us you really like listening to. We're here with Sam Zamarripa. We're here with Lakita Bonet. And with us by some technological marvel is Jim Galloway, who's coming to us from Cobb County, where he's recovering from a little medical procedure that he had. Jim, I want to turn to you first. And We played Donald Trump's response in the first segment of the show to the bomb threats. Let's listen to how Hillary Clinton responded.
I've been very clear. We're going after the bad guys and we're going to get them. But we're not going to go after an entire religion and give ISIS exactly what it's wanting in order for them to enhance their positions. We know that Donald Trump's comments have been used online for recruitment of terrorists. We've heard that from former CIA director Michael Hayden, who made it a very clear point when he said Donald Trump is being used as a recruiting sergeant for the terrorists. We also know from the former head of our counterterrorism center, Matt Olson, that the kinds of rhetoric and language that Mr. Trump has used is giving aid and comfort to our adversaries.
All right, Jim, I understand that as great as our technology is, you didn't hear that. But certainly you followed what Hillary Clinton said and how she responded. It is my sense that, you know, she is trying, and you tell me if I'm wrong, she's trying so hard to present herself as the calm, authoritative figure who is not going to overreact to this sort of thing. Is that working? Jim, what do you think? Apparently, Jim has lost us. So let me throw that out to you, too.
You know, Bill, Hillary Clinton speaks like a former State Department official, a United States senator, and a policy wonk. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is this, that if you want to understand all that, listen closely to what she said, and you will be in the midst of that kind of thinking. Her comments don't make us feel any better about our anger or our discomfort with a terroristic threat. But we might sleep better. So I'd say Trump can make us feel better because we feel like we're getting even with words. But I think we can sleep better with Hillary Clinton's
Lakita?
Words.
Yes, I definitely think she's more level-headed. And I think that's something that the American people want right now, someone that they know can handle situations on a level head. And she's often put these charges towards Trump, you know, that you don't want someone that the way that he rants on Twitter. You don't want someone to have that type of attitude in dealing with issues of foreign policy. So I think the American people are more supportive of the level-headedness, the past experience that she has, and the interest that she has in fighting for the U.S.
Jim, I think you're back with us, I hope.
I think I am.
We've just heard from Lakita and Sam about this. I will tell you that just as an observer, Hillary Clinton, I get this effort to be centered and calm and make sure people recognize her authority. It doesn't come from ranting and raving. But I wonder if she's, in fact, winning any people over with that kind of approach to this. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. What I think about Hillary is number one, you have to remember she is not a natural politician. She's being compared to the last two Democratic presidents, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, have been off the charts when it comes to kind of personal relationships. So she's not a natural. And if you're not a natural politician, your initial instinct is always caution. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always let's try to do as little or say as little as possible. And I think in this climate, when you've got such an unpredictable foe like Trump, I think that does become a problem.
Well,
go ahead, please.
No, I think that there are some other elements to consider with Hillary Clinton. I think her campaign managers and strategy are actually looking at that. If she comes off as too erratic or if she comes off as too harsh, then I think that there may be some issues with her gender in there. They may try to use that against her. And I think that she's trying to play multiple sides here. She's trying to have multiple faces to seem as a calm person, to also seem as one that's an authority position, and to not have any of the sexist issues that might come into play in regards to her gender be presented.
Let's bring it home to Georgia, Sam. This is a red state. For a while, it's looked as if this may be a toss-up state, but suddenly the polling seems to be Nate Silver and 538. I checked just a little while ago. They now put this state pretty much firmly back in the Trump camp after a period during which they thought that she might, in fact, win here. How did Georgians respond to the rhetoric on both sides on national security?
You know, we're getting to be a state that is lending or trending purple. So increasingly, you're going to have a race that's only divided by 3 points. That's come a long way in the last since the last election cycle. We've got 2 or 3 points that divide Republicans and Democrats, and for I think for young millennial voters, I think that there's a promise that there may be an opening for a progressive candidate to their liking to come around. For the traditional Republican bench that's here, I think they find a lot of comfort in the ideas that Donald Trump puts forward.
Jim?
I think the Monmouth poll does show Donald Trump with an edge. I wouldn't be celebrating if I were him. Three percentage points.
Yeah, it's basically within the margin of error.
Isn't all that? And what you see in that poll is that the real decline has been on the part of Gary Johnson. Because remember, we're talking about a three-way ballot race here, and the winner just simply has to get a plurality. And the lower Gary Johnson sinks, I think those votes are the votes that are flowing back to Donald Trump.
I'm Bill Nigut. We're back with Political Rewind. Lakita Bonnett from Georgia State, Political Science Department at Georgia State. Dr. Lakita Bonnett is here. Sam Zamarripa, former state senator and a serial entrepreneur, I think is a fair way to describe Sam. And Jim Galloway is with us. Jim, I'm going to propose a thesis and let you take the first crack at it. We have spent months, as have most political programs, both Fox News and MSNBC and both sides of the equation, pointing out the problems, the troubles, the crises that the Trump campaign has gone through, and certainly that campaign has, and Donald Trump has himself as a candidate. It occurs to me that we are living through a period right now that suggests that perhaps Hillary Clinton, as we come down to the end of this race, has a campaign that is a little bit directionless and is making mistakes that are really causing her to lose momentum. The pneumonia incident, where she did not talk about her health, she kept it secret and promoted once again this notion that secrecy is terribly important to her. The fact that they spent the summer courting disaffected Republicans and did not do the kind of job that they might have done securing their base, African American, and certainly the Hispanic base. Am I off track here, Jim?
No, I don't think so. I think you've seen the polling out there. Millennials in particular are simply not excited by this contest, which and I've got to say, I find that you and I are well past 60, but this is the most exciting and unusual and maybe truly, truly the most important presidential contest of our lifetimes. And to see people disengaged, I just find that highly unusual. And I don't know, I think it's this cautious nature that Hillary Clinton has, not to put anything out there that she doesn't have to. And I think that's what's really driving or not driving this scale.
Bill, it's I think Jim is right. If you thought of this race as a dance, both candidates dancing, and they're dancing to a Bruce Springsteen song made, Born in the USA, Donald Trump would be doing the jitterbug, and Hillary Clinton is doing the waltz.
Yes.
So it's a little bit, that's why it's so entertaining to watch, but so hard to understand. And I do think that you raise a very good point. I think Jim's observation is correct. However, back to your earlier question regarding her commentary on the recent terrorist acts in the United States, I do not expect that Hillary Clinton will change her game dramatically between now and the new election.
So, Sam, let me look. You know the Hispanic community here as well as anybody, probably better than most people. Hillary Clinton right now in national polls is underperforming Barack Obama in terms of attracting Hispanic votes. And you also know that here in Georgia, turning out the Hispanic vote is an effort in and of itself. What's going to happen to Latino voters here? Is Hillary Clinton going to win them over? And is that going to help her perhaps come close to winning, if not winning, Georgia?
So I hope we'll do a whole program on this one sometime in the future, Bill. But the short answer is that the 75%, roughly 75% of the registered voter base, Latino voter base, has said they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. She is underperforming Barack Obama, but she's underperforming with a larger number, Bill. And she's underperforming with a backdrop of a very, very critical Donald Trump, who has said things that are absolutely unforgettable and by the Latino community.
Lakita,
so she will do very well.
Lakita, the Trump campaign announced today that he's going to make a big push. He's going to start going to black churches in cities around the country to attract voters. They claim that they are on the verge of really showing African Americans that he can be their man. Your response?
I don't think that Trump is going to win largely with the African-American community. I don't think that he really has any opportunity, as we saw from some situations, even when he tried to go to Detroit to court the black vote. That wasn't very successful for him. One thing we did see as far as Republican candidates is that Bush had a little bit more leeway with trying to get some of the black vote through the black church, but it still wasn't successful. The African-American community is still highly Democratic. They're going to resort back to their Democratic roots, and they're going to more than likely vote for Hillary Clinton, and we know that she has a long, a very good standing with black women.
All that said, Jim, there are Democrats, as you and I both know, out there who are panicking that Hillary Clinton, who came out of the conventions with a lead and momentum, is suddenly neck and neck with Donald Trump, and the Democrats are getting really nervous about this.
No. Let's take this with just at least a pinch of salt, because there's that we've got something behind this here, and that is, you know, if Democrats are nervous, then they're going to exercise that get out the vote machine a little bit harder. Their fundraising is going to do better. If Republicans are a little bit chortling a little bit that Donald Trump is doing well in the polls, they get to increase their fundraising. So what I'm saying is a little bit of this may be money driven.
Yeah, you suggested to me, Jim, in our conversation about the show the other day, that you think some Democrats may be ginning this up a little bit to make sure their voters don't get complacent. I don't know.
It's a delicate balance that you got to hit. But let me just to your point about Donald Trump and black vote. I do want to recognize when social progress happens, you have to give it a nod of your head. And we've got Donald Trump right now on tape, on the record, saying that the Tulsa shooting of Terrence Crutcher appears to be a real gross event, gross injustice. You've got the Republican nominee saying that.
I was struck by that too, Lakita. That
yes.
He's now, boy, talk about a guy who's trying to reach out to black voters.
He's definitely trying to reach out to black voters. And this is a major turn from what we saw at the Republican National Convention, right? When we had the black police chief up there who were more in support of the police officers and saying that the Black Lives Matter campaign was actually leading to more issues. And so I think that this is a major appeal to the black community.
Sam?
You know, I want to go back to the earlier point that Jim was making about this panic on the Democratic side. If I divided the race into two emotional categories, I would say anger is driving the Trump momentum, and I would say anxiety is driving the Democratic momentum. And I do think there is something to this as a true strategy. As I previously said, I do not expect to see any dramatic difference in Hillary Clinton's behavior, so this anxiety works well for her. I don't expect to see any dramatic change in Donald Trump's behavior. Anger works well for him. So this is a race between anger and anxiety versus pure ideology.
All right, so let me throw it out. We have said for a long time that until Trump got his new campaign team in place, that he had a terrible campaign organization. It didn't know what he was doing. They let Trump run rampant. Is the Hillary Clinton campaign in good hands, Sam?
Yeah, you know what remains to be seen is the ground game value. You know, if you believe, as most political observers do, ground game matters, we're going to see that in early November, how that ground game contributes to whoever prevails here. And my guess is that the organization in North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio is going to pay off wonderfully for Clinton.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt again. We're going to take another pledge break. Jim Galloway, when we come back, I want to talk with you first about a couple of interesting stories in the state of Georgia, one about the Opportunity School proposal of Nathan Deals, and also about an interesting meeting that Kasim Reed was involved with at the White House. We'll do that When we come back, you're listening to Political Rewind. I have been remiss in not promoting our Twitter handle. It's PoliticsGPB, but a lot of you already know it. So let me just quickly tell you, Edward Funtz says, Norman says Democrats is nervous because they're going to lose, and Republicans is nervous because they're going to win.
That's right.
And Thought Crime tweets, Obama's been in office 7 years. His first visit to Chicago, this is kind of harsh, was to order blacks to stay on the plantation and vote for Hillary. Wow. That's a harsh assessment, I think, Lakita.
That is a harsh assessment, but we are seeing the Obama campaign trying to get the black community to support Clinton. And Clinton has had a long road from the time that she announced until now with the black community, especially things that she said previously, the super predator comment, having people like Michelle Alexander come out against her. And this is taking more of effect with millennials. They're really looking at Clinton and really distrustful of Clinton. And, and this is having a large impact, especially among young black and Latino voters and their support of Hillary Clinton.
All right, let's turn to state politics. Jim Galloway, talk about Kasim Reed. Was at an interesting meeting the other day. Give us a quick a fill-in on what this was about.
Yeah, this is something you might have missed because it happened while Donald Trump was declaring Barack Obama a U.S. citizen last Friday. Just a few blocks away in the White House, you had Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed and Ohio Governor John Kasich kind of step out in front of the press in the press briefing room there, and they are taking the point on the post-election campaign for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which I think is highly unusual and very important. Basically, you've got Kasim Reed opposing Clinton's position on TPP, and that of Jim Barksdale, the U.S. Senate candidate opposing Johnny Isaacson. On John Kasich, you have John Kasich, the governor of a state that Republicans can't win the White House without. He is standing astride Donald Trump's protectionist answer to the Rust Belt. Both of those, they intend. Which I think what you're going to see is Barack Obama attempt a kind of a centrist resolution after November 8 to get this bill passed.
Yeah, and we should point out that in all of those smart observations you made, Kasim Reed, of course, is a huge surrogate and supporter of Hillary Clinton, and yet on TPP, he's got to go his own way, obviously. Sam, would you fill us in, because you're very involved with the business community here in Georgia, especially in Metro Atlanta. And they've been following, as all of us have, really, this Nathan Deal's Opportunity Schools District referendum that's coming up. Boy, all of a sudden, you've got Cobb County, Marietta Daily Journal, editorialized against it. DeKalb County School Board has said, we are going to urge DeKalb County citizens to vote against this thing. Jim, am I right? Cobb County School Boards has already made some comments about this as well.
I don't know that the Cobb County
School Board. Well, there was another school board up there your way. Newton. Okay. So, Sam, what's going on here?
So this bill is fascinating. I actually admire the governor for getting involved in something so visible around failed schools. Unfortunately, he stepped into one of the largest traps known to political woman and mankind, and that is all education is local. And so I doubt that this bill will, if it does prevail, it will be because no one really understands it. But once it's understood, and I'm going to look to school boards, local elected officials, and others to educate people about this bill, it's just unlikely to pass.
Jim, this Nathan Deal's going to have a hard time on this now.
Well, this is getting interesting because when Deal first approached, basically, and any individual school with a history of failing its students would be liable to a takeover by a state administration. And originally, what everybody thought was this was going to pit public school teachers and PTAs, relatively liberal groups, against the governor and the GOP establishment. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is you have conservative groups coming out against this as a government overreach. Mm-hmm. And I truly think it's going to be driven by the presidential race. Donald Trump's presidential candidacy is very much it's still a kind of a Tea Party anti-government connected movement. And I think the better Trump does, I think it's going to be harder for the OSD proposal to pass.
Yeah, I Lakita, I think that makes sense to me. That, because Galloway always makes sense.
Yeah, so I think both conservatives and liberals, and I think a good part that you're pointing out is that people want to make sure that they have accountability as far as their schools are concerned, and to turn it over to the government where there's no actual transparency and no accountability may be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of school boards and a lot of PTA organizations and a lot of citizens who are sending their children to these schools.
All right, we are out of time for today's Political Rewind. Lakita Bonet, thank you so much for being
here.
It's been
a
pleasure having you. Sam Zamarripa, always great to see you.
Great to be here.
And Jim Galloway, I'm awfully glad you're back with us. I'm glad to be back.
Wonderful to be here.
Yeah, and okay, as we leave you, let me remind you, if you want to be on our voter panel, call us at 678-757-4472. Tell us please, no more than about 100 words, why you think we want to hear what you have to say on our voter panel. 678-757-4472. Remember, our Twitter handle is @PoliticsGPB. And even though we're about to sign off this show, you can always be part of the conversation, whether we're on the air or not. Again, it's really a pleasure to be back with you all. And we're coming into one of the most fascinating times that we're going to face in this presidential race, Sam Zamarripa. First debate next Monday night should be an extraordinary event. We're going to spend all of Friday's show previewing it to some extent. We're in a very interesting time.
Buy your beer early and buckle up.
I'm going to give you one last shot because we do have a few more seconds, Lakita. What would you seem to be clearly Hillary Clinton leaning toward her, I think. What would you tell her she has to do on the debate? You've got about 20 seconds.
I think that she needs to appeal to young voters. I think that she needs to be more transparent. She needs to try to build this idea of trust, and that's something that is really lacking with the Clinton campaign, and that's something that's going to be helpful for her, especially when I'm speaking to a lot of young people. They're wanting more to know that she is trustworthy.
Galloway, 10 seconds. What's Trump going to do?
Havoc. Wreak havoc.
You didn't even need 10 seconds. That's it for us on Political Rewind. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Become a member of GPB.